This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
See Hollywood Handbook live in Los Angeles next Wednesday, February 15th at the Dynasty Typewriter. Tickets for the show and for the live stream, if you can't make it, are available in the episode description. Enjoy the show.
Sometimes I realize that the way that I'm going to find out that I have died will just be that I'm not hearing the theme song.
Mm-hmm. Kevin will say, "Here comes the theme song," and that's nothing.
Kevin will say,
"What
here
are you?"
Comes the theme song, and it'll
it's
be
just white noise. Just
what does yours say, Mark and John? What does your song say?
Your theme song.
What does it say?
"Here comes Hayes and Sean."
No,
that's what your
that's
theme
not
song.
Your
says?
Song.
Oh,
but what is our theme song? Song?
My God, I didn't expect such outrage.
One is Mark and John's the other. We're just friends. We are not lovers.
Sorry.
Two old queens. We sort of wanted to go, though, like the Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island route of like, no matter.
It says what the show is.
Yeah. It's like right there. The story
provides a little context.
And who's recording that bad bird? Who'd you bring in to lay that track down for you?
Our friend Danny Cohen.
Danny Cohen.
Mm-hmm. I knew it'd be somebody good.
Danny comes in. With the bass.
He comes in with the bass. A lot of synth.
Upright bass, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Danny did every piece? Did he farm some of it out?
No, all Danny.
As far as we know, he might have used
that's
an
what
app
he said.
Or something.
That's
like
he's
what
a regular Daniel Johnston.
We should have Danny on here.
Yeah, why is it Danny?
Do you want us to
sounds like he
can call him for you right now.
It's just we're here talking to you two, and then we kind of wanted to talk about your song. It seems like everything we ask, it's like, well, that's really Danny. So,
kind of a Danny question.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if this something got fucked up, basically.
We could see if we could reach him. Maybe he can join the Zoom.
I mean,
in
the email, you never said like, "Hey, we love the theme song. We'd love to talk about the theme song."
Oh, my God. So it's like I have to say the whole show in the email. This could have been an email.
We do our whole show and our theme song. It's sort of that.
And apparently you've never heard it, since you had to ask us what it was.
Yeah. But I've heard such good things about it.
Oh, I see. You can tell.
The buzz is pretty deafening.
My feeling, the tension I'm feeling with Danny is that the Danny picks up, I'm no longer interested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you call Danny and like, and he doesn't pick up, then I don't have him on the show, but I want him to be on the show that much.
But
more.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, Danny has become the only thing that matters about
your
the
white
show.
Whale.
Yeah. The second he answers the phone, right?
The magic's done.
He's filth to me.
Forget it. We'll just talk to these guys. So that is what your theme song says. It says what the show is. The show is Two Old Queens.
Yeah.
And it's about two correct. Friends. And it's about two movies. Friends.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's true.
Hmm. How's it going?
Pretty, revolutionary concept, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You love movies? Two Old Queens love movies?
We do.
We do.
And we think really? About how gay they are, is the main prism. We do
that's
love movies. Are you not a movie person?
Not all of them.
I don't know. Some of them are okay.
There's some good ones.
Yeah. But as far as media,
for your favorites, what do you think is like, if you had to be like, oh, this is the movie, what do you think is the gayest? Knives Out? Okay. What's the gayest movie you think you've ever seen?
Probably Knives Out.
Sure.
It's pretty gay.
It's got
we love a whodunit. We love a mystery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
None of these have any connection to like my life. None of them are about like me doing a podcast with Mark and John. No connection to like my experience at all.
So you basically want
wake me up when they tell me
you
about
want like
they,
a doc. You so you like documentaries? Is that?
Ideally one about something like before it happens to me. So then I can go into the scenario being like, okay, I drew lessons from this movie about like doing a podcast.
Got that in your back pocket.
There was part of the movie that I liked. I'll do that part again. There was part of the movie that felt like it wasn't going well. I'm going to know what to avoid.
Do another pass on that part.
now I, you know, I'm going into this podcast armed with the ability to solve a Cajun mystery of some kind. Where it was not that hard to solve, or like it was both like too hard and too easy. You know what I mean? Like,
so it tripped you up.
The mystery was not like, it wasn't like a puzzle that I could like figure out during the movie. It was just like there were a couple little clues that didn't actually lead to anything. And ultimately, they were just like, it was that guy. That's the guy who did it. And I was like, okay.
My feeling like,
but who did the other murder? Oh, he did too. He did that too. Okay.
We spent so much time off mic training Kevin to throw up whenever he lies.
Yes. Yes.
But the result has been that he throws up like just a lot more. And I don't know that it's always related to whether he's lying or telling the truth, but I know it will be crucial at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That if we can develop that trait in him, that then we can like use that to sort of snuff out the killer. Snuff out. That's not right. Sniff out.
Snuff out. I think is. We will be snuffing them out immediately.
I'll snuff their ass out once I know who they are. Yeah, once Kevin throws up on them,
we will be administering.
Suss out is maybe sus was the word you were looking for.
Suss could be good. Yeah,
suss is another fun one.
Mm-hmm. Suss and the old suss and snuff. Suss them first. Mm-hmm.
And Kevin's
snuff them
well.
Second. Administering justice by death.
So Hollywood Handbook is pro death penalty.
If we get to do it, yes.
Oh, if you personally,
we don't think that the government should be in charge of it.
State doing it is very offensive to me. I should get to do it.
It's disgusting because there's no checks and balances there. I have no idea what the criteria is they're basing it on. But when I am implementing the death penalty, I am quite sure that it is.
Sure. You know what you are thinking.
And that it's humane.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I do it is so tender.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
It's just, it's honestly, it's a big hug around the neck with piano wire.
That does not sound very gentle to me.
It takes forever because of how gentle I'm being.
How would you do it then?
Yeah, how are you? How does two old queens,
how you get your dog put down by the vet will come to the house now?
Yeah,
kind of like that. We'll do it in a living room in front of a fireplace.
That's really nice.
You can choose the music.
Yeah,
put
maybe
a
some
towel on their lap.
Sade would be nice.
Oh, that's a smooth groove.
Yeah. Diamond Life, great album.
Sean comes over and he garrots you at home.
Yeah.
With like a three-inch thing of piano wire? Maybe not
like
enough.
More like terry cloth, part of a robe. So it smells familiar, you know?
He'll garrot your pants.
Yeah. I get the tie. I get the belt from like a Pendleton robe.
Perfect.
It's very plush. And I wrap it around you.
I
pick out a song. Mm-hmm.
What's the gayest movie so far?
Female Trouble.
Female Trouble. John Waters.
John Waters.
John Waters, Female Trouble. Second.
Hedwig.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That check out.
John Cameron Mitchell.
11.
11th? I can tell you. I have a spreadsheet open, a tab right now. 11th is Death Becomes Her.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a good one.
How many total?
We are up to around 184. 184. Okay.
What's the least gay movie that you've watched so far?
We just did this over the... It's Double Holiday, an awful Hallmark Christmas/Hanukkah movie. That's mostly a Christmas movie. Barely Hanukkah. Yeah. It's rude.
It's very straight and very anti-Semitic.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that sounds like our show. So...
No, it does not.
I'm bantering, Hayes.
What's 141?
Interesting you should ask. 141 is Air Bud.
It is, isn't it? Air Bud is 141. That seems exactly right. It's not the least. It's not the least gay.
No. And Air Bud
got Michael Jeter.
Not even really close. Yes, that's right.
Not at all.
Michael Jeter, weirdly, this was very bizarre casting. Michael Jeter is the player that Air Bud replaces on the team
on the children's.
And he's like, yeah, what's a dog? Yeah. And he's like, what's a dog doing? Like, how dare a dog replace me on this team? And everyone's like, well, you really shouldn't be here either.
You're a pedophile, sir.
Sir.
Yeah, then the ref goes, ain't no rule says a pedophile can't play basketball.
Mm-hmm. Well, Air Bud was a sequel to Air Ped, which was the origin story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was about Michael Cheater playing on a basketball team.
It's heartwarming.
I think there are rules about that.
Yeah, well, that's what he finds out. Then the referee gets arrested.
Bad feeling about this at the Air
movies. The Budiverse.
Guess. You've got them. So do we.
Okay, it's not a competition.
Is it mostly, you know, it's mostly like these talky guests, huh? Not these guests that like do movie stuff. We deal with this. We struggle with this as well.
Yeah.
Like you get people who comment on the things and not do the things.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
What we're finding is a lot of who we can access. Yeah. As they go, well, we'll continue commenting on it. And we go, but what about the people that actually do it?
Yeah, actually have a skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're busy doing it.
Are they?
Isn't that the truth?
Some of them. Someone's got to be doing something. There's too much TV. There's too much content. Someone's got to be
Even
doing it.
With COVID, John?
Especially with COVID.
We missed our window. Yeah.
Feels like
I
we could have gotten some really big celebs during COVID, and we were just not focusing our energy in the right directions.
Yeah, what was Rita Moreno doing in 2020? Nothing.
She was getting ready for 80 for Brady.
For 2 years? She had to prepare?
Yeah. Yes.
She's 80. She can't just jump into it.
That the pandemic is officially over, and Rita Moreno has this ready-made movie that is just like good to go, just like out of the gates before anyone else. She was obviously violating many public health codes to make 80 for Brady throughout the 3 years of the pandemic.
Well, I think
what a coincidence. Tom Brady retires just as 80 for Brady
to do PR for the movie.
Yeah.
To do the press tour.
Just in time.
That makes sense.
I wonder who's pulling those strings. It's interesting that we talk about 80 for Brady. Hayes and I are actually hosting a very special screening of 80 for Brady at the New Beverly. And we're going to be introducing it with like some funny banter and sort of stories about what the movie means to us. And ideally we would like to get noticed by Quentin Tarantino and, you know, casted some of his projects from the way that we introduced the movie at the theater. And we thought, well, these guys know movies.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
maybe
that's the way
you
it
could
now.
Help us.
That's how you get plucked.
Yeah, sort of without seeming too desperate. Let QT know, hey, we're available. We're QTs as well, and we would we would really like to be in some movies.
Well, I would say do the presentation with your shoes and socks off.
I was going to say, what are you wearing?
Sitting in very
for
high directing chairs, constantly wiggle your little piggies.
Can I just say, like, and this is, I didn't think I was going to have to come in here and defend Quentin Tarantino. It's not, like, any foot. It's not, like, all feet that he's just, like.
I don't have a problem
with it. It's not an any foot'll do situation, you know? Like, yes, ours are in competition.
Absolutely. I would have to walk through a mud puddle or something first, but yes.
Yes.
I would say find out who Brad Pitt's foot guy is.
Yes.
And go to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like get the pedicure from him, find out what it is. You know, what's the polish Brad used when he was doing know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
French tips on the piggies, right?
A little French tip piggy. Piggies. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so that's two different. I mean, there's like the pedicure guy, but like the foot guy is the guy that like got him his feet. Like who.
Right. Where he bought his feet at.
His supplier for
you need a foot guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny how this industry changed. When I moved here, you didn't necessarily have to have a foot guy to get ahead.
Yes.
And just watching the way that it's become, you know, not only encouraged, but really required to have a really good foot guy who can provide you with feet. It's different. I'm not necessarily saying it's bad, but it's not what I expected.
Ryan Reynolds has, on his farm, I believe, 12 preteens. Always ready to go. They're hanging upside down, always in recliners, so their feet never get worked.
So pristine.
They are pristine. Mm-hmm. So and he soft. Swaps out his feet every 9 months. And look what it did. Aviator gin.
Yeah, well, they say, what kind of farm is it? You know? Because there's no crops. And it is a foot farm.
It's a foot farm.
You're Tom Cruise. You need to stand next to Katie Holmes at events and things like that.
It's been a while, but
Ryan Reynolds. You get an extra set of feet put in below your original.
It's a foot on a foot
set. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's your real height. Let me see your feet. Sure, why not? You just show them the bottom ones.
Yeah, that's smarter.
Probably the most exciting day in the process is when your new feet burst out from inside your old feet and explode the old foot. And you sort of, that's when you feel the freshest, you know, when it's still kind of wet with ooze from.
It's like new skin under a scab, that kind of thing. The new pink, fresh skin.
No, never have a better foot than then. So we're trying to time it out so that happens right before we go to introduce 80 for Brady.
What if in your entrance you are brought down from the ceiling so that it's like the spotlight hits your feet first, you slowly come down. And then it's like the moment your feet first touch the ground. If you could time that so that it's truly the freshest feet.
We put mics on the ground to like pick up the sound of the skin connecting with the stage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's like a little shallow kiddie pool of lotion. So then your feet could wriggle around in the lotion. So there's like squishy sounds.
Yeah. Oh, a little ASMR element.
Just a nice schlorp schlorp sound.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I think we also do. We do need to be talking. I assume that the feet will be mic'd louder than our voices.
I would
obviously
hope so.
Yeah,
but we should talk a little bit about how 80 for Brady does fulfill the grindhouse tradition, right?
Well. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the like midnight movie kind of edgy. Mm-hmm. This feels a little dangerous.
Right. They do, according to the trailer, drink marijuana martinis.
Okay.
Wow. And you're also worried that any of them can drop dead at any moment. This might turn into a snuff film if there's a loud noise.
Any one of their legs could be a machete or an automatic weapon.
Like a Planet Terror. I'm the only one who saw Planet Terror.
Oh, buddy. No, that's machine not gun true leg. At all. I saw it. I'm just trying to think about if I make my leg into a machine gun or something, what am I doing with my foot?
Necklace?
What I'm going to do with my foot?
Put it in someone else's stocking? Make it a lamp?
It is weird that we put candy and stuff in there. It's like, that's for feet.
Right. Why are you putting a toothbrush in here?
It's not sanitary.
Yeah.
That's what you got in your stocking. You got a toothbrush?
Well, like in addition to candy, but a fresh toothbrush.
But it's just like, it's supposed to be a time for candy where we don't think about the responsibility.
But after the candy, you brush your teeth. You want to keep your teeth.
What do you get? Aspirin too? Here's some Tylenol.
John, you're a little boy. It shouldn't be about brushing your teeth.
But it was like a superhero toothbrush. It had like Aquaman at the bottom of it.
Even so, it's like Aquaman is going like, better brush your teeth or you'll never get to meet my fish friends.
Merry Christmas. Here's a wrist brace.
You guys didn't get ace bandages for Christmas every year? Huh.
No, John. No,
weird. John.
Huh. John. Yeah. Mm. Oh, wow. I got a skateboard and a free CAT scan.
A trip to the blood pressure machine.
You skate easier that way if you know the CAT scan's already paid for.
Lice medicine.
I didn't need that.
Well, you were bald till you were 14.
Yeah. Oh, John.
Oh, wow.
But when it came in,
then
oh,
what?
Like a, so fresh. It was like Ryan Reynolds' new foot coming in. It was just burst exploded.
Out. A dapper new outfit so that I can impress my crush, and a prescription for Valtrex. It's just like I'm sorry that your family was so intent on you being responsible that you didn't get that one moment of magic when you pull out the candy and you say, I'm not going to worry about my teeth at all for the whole morning.
There are no tomorrows.
Yeah.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, Carl continues his journey as Akron Zips football coach Craig Fazoli on his new show, Play No Games. On the pro version, the boys make some brand new clothes, and the flagrant ones are mostly talking all things basketball. Check out all these shows and the video for today's episode with John and Mark at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One thing about this revival that we do sort of have to do. So when we were booking the New Beverly,
mm-hmm. yep.
this was, I think, a confusion with Kevin that, like, he also assumed that we would want, like, because it's 80 for Brady, he also booked us to be, like, presenting the movie alongside the actress Ancient Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. And she, of course, is like the fifth person. They're not promoting her in the movie, but like there's five.
She's a surprise.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very, very surprising.
She's not a name. You know what I mean? She's not marketable, but she's incredible in this.
Her billing is and introducing, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And finally introducing.
Finally. She is 87, I believe, right? I think it's like an introducing and saying goodbye.
And saying goodbye.
Yes. And being a fond
and in memory
farewell
of.
To.
Yes.
Don't get so too it's attached.
It's about like representation of like there's these four women that are very kind of youthful for their age. And then there's a fifth who appears to be significantly older than she even is, mm-hmm. which is very, very old.
She's actively
the same
dying.
Age, but it's removing the stigma from seeming old. I feel like there's so much tied up in old people being like, age is just a number. And it's like, well, sometimes it is your age, and sometimes that
yes.
comes along with some pretty significant
changes,
you know, challenges.
Sure.
And I think it is important to have that on screen as well, just even for contrast.
But you got to give it to the director, because it's hard to frame a shot where there's like four, five characters and one of them's in a hospital bed the entire time in a stadium. That's not easy.
No, it is. It's pretty clever the way that they shot it. And I think it was obviously with the trailer in mind, where they do kind of pan over or widen, you know, after the first 3 seconds of every shot
and
to show Ancient Beverly.
And someone giving her CPR most times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her shots are pretty clearly from above. And they have, like, laid out, like, the set design, like, you know, like, the end table and stuff, like, next to her on its back. And, you know, she's, like, lying on, like, a wallpaper surface. So it seems like she's, you know, standing up. But she's very obviously in a hospital. But I mean, just from the
kind of she's asking for medicine.
Yes,
but yeah. rapping. I mean,
in most of the scenes, she is asking for medicine,
but in a fun rap,
right?
It's irreverent.
Oh gosh, yeah, no, that to me was like the lightness of hey, even if you're not, you know, so spry, it's like. Still, give me a beat and like let's make this request really fun. But saying like I need the medicine. The medicine is
give me a
crucial
pill.
For
yeah.
me. It's an emergency. But to do it, just like
go
sutured
ancient,
to
go
the beat.
Ancient.
It's your last breath. It's your last breath.
So the lowering, I worry, is going to be an issue for Ancient Beverly. The lotion, I think, would be temporarily. Beneficial and then potentially very
immediately
dangerous.
Become like a choking hazard actually
yes
now are you bringing her out before the movie starts?
She has to be part of our like she is locked in to our pre-movie introduction, which is our only opportunity to kind of sell Quentin
and so we want to like
on our movie knowledge
without her taking the spotlight.
Maybe if you get her to say like some sort of racial slur, that might get his attention.
Yeah.
He loves
those. That
could
be interesting. And what's our reaction to that? Are we just kind of like...
How do I play it?
We disapprove of it, but it's okay.
You just say, she's from a different time. She's from a different time. Different era.
We say, this is appropriate for her character.
For her life experience.
She remembers when trains were new. Yes.
That's what her character would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
We go, it actually would be dishonest and inauthentic
Thank
for her
you.
Not yeah. to use that racial slur, even though I personally will not
would
be
never.
Using it.
No.
That's right.
unless it's in the script, Quentin.
Is there a way to tie in like a movie like 80 for Brady with just like being able to show how much we like know and appreciate about film, like like with the traditions that draw? We talked about Grindhouse, but like maybe going
the American
back to,
Giallo
like,
or
some blaxploitation, you know, maybe
lesser known genres.
Maybe you can find a way to compare it to Blackula.
Wow.
80 for Blackula?
Huh.
You pitch a sequel for senior citizens to find their spark, go to a revival screening of Blackula? I don't know.
That's what we're pitching.
Maybe they go on a vacation and then they unearth Blackula.
And you guys are the concerned grandsons?
We play the concerned grandsons.
Grandma, come on. You're too old to go see Blackula at a midnight screening.
There we go.
Watch this, Sonny.
It writes itself.
And they have to sneak out, you know?
And we learn, like, we learn to have some respect for our elders.
Yeah, you guys are like,
to
you
not
gotta
feel
do that.
So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so fragile about it.
But I think one of you needs to fall in love with one of the other women.
Okay. One of the other grandmas.
Yeah, not your own grandma. Mm-hmm.
This is a MILF Manor style situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah. Gamilf Gamanor.
Gamilf Gamanor. So it's both of your two grand, because you both have two grandmas on both. So it's those four grandmas together.
Okay.
So maybe it's like there's two thruples then.
Or it could be you each end up with one and then two of the grandmothers end up together.
That's cute. Progressive.
Well, that would, there yes. And that would maybe
Shakespearean
move us up your
three marriages at the end of the plot.
And Tarantino loves Shakespeare.
He does.
He's obsessed.
They're always showing Shakespeare in Love at New Beverly.
He has a podcast now.
Yeah.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
Have you reached out?
Have
you inquired?
Just to wish him well.
Mostly. Just good luck, Quentin. We've been doing this for a few years.
Yeah.
Let us know if you need any tips.
Takes a while to build your audience, Quentin.
Get that T Public account going as soon as you can.
So you have teas?
Oh, we
have teas.
Sick teas.
Mm-hmm.
What's our best selling tea design? And let's see if we can steer a little more traffic that way.
It would probably be the Eat Shit Funny Girl.
Okay. That's good. Very versatile.
Very versatile. Very of the moment as well.
We lucked out. Michelle came back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear that pretty much anywhere. There's no inappropriate location.
There's no wrong word. Yeah. No wrong event.
Disneyland, you could wear it.
Mm-hmm.
You wear it to Disneyland, but you can wear it to church. You can wear it to a wedding. Mm-hmm. But you can also wear it to a different church.
Kevin, do you have the T Public store open?
Sure, let me get that.
So the answer was no. It's a yes or no. It's not a sure.
Yeah, just give me a second.
And the shirt is about the movie Funny Girl?
Correct.
Because you like
the play. Is it to the character or is it
you like
to
the new
movie.
Broadway version?
We haven't seen it.
John's more the Broadway guy than I am.
Yeah. And it was Mark who said, Eat Shit Funny Girl. So that's all Mark. I'll take
Why
note.
Do you say that? So actually, and John, are you sharing the profits?
She's over 2 hours long and it's really boring. That's what she did. 2.5 hours of this I need? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Two hours. That's what I did. I'm
so funny.
There we go.
Here we go.
I'm pulling the lever. Okay. There's the two of you saying hello. Why don't we? So
this
that one's
awful.
Really nice. That's a... The logo work is really fantastic. In the style, it's got Barbara
Streisand. Wow,
just right in there.
No mistaking it.
Yeah.
What? So, can you talk to me about You Are Not the movie Cruising? I actually watched Cruising recently.
Oh, you did?
He actually was saying that he is.
Yeah,
John was
I thought he was the movie. I finished watching it. I said, hey.
I'm the movie Cruising.
Finally, somebody got me right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting. Wasn't sure I understood it.
Sure.
But
no.
But tell me why it says you are not the movie Cruising.
Well, for the longest time, you would get a penalty if you were the movie cruising, because before we saw it, we believed it was a very, you know, a homophobic, not the most flattering portrait of gay life. But then we eventually watched it and it came away. It's not that bad.
Not the worst.
Not the worst. So for about a year, you would get a penalty if you were the movie cruising.
But then we would be like, you're not the movie cruising, so you're not going to get penalized.
Oh, so that's a good thing.
Sure.
Which is a factual
thing. Not being the movie cruising. But then, in fact, the movie cruising was not the movie cruising.
Correct.
Well, that one was. But yeah, that's the one time that it was.
The movie cruising was the movie cruising, even though what you were braced for was something much worse than what the movie cruising actually was.
Correct. We were braced for, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. But it actually ended up being a little more nuanced than that.
Yeah, far more interesting.
Mm-hmm. If you can believe something was more interesting than I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
No, and again, all this stuff is totally subjective.
Sure.
Oh, Kevin, are you in the United Kingdom right now?
That's cool that you guys don't do U.S. currency. I love that.
You know, we're supporting Brexit.
Because all the prices are in pounds.
There's a t-shirt of the two of you saying hello, which you say at the same time at the beginning of every episode.
That's
correct.
True.
How's that one doing?
You know, the problem was we introduced all these shirts at the same time.
Right.
And we should have done one every few months.
You got to space them out. It's good if people feel like they have no other option at any point when they're buying a shirt.
This is the advice I left for Quentin. I said, don't put all your merch out at once. Space it out. Yes. When there's just one shirt out, people think, ooh, I got to get that one. But when you do six, it's a, you know, fallacy of choice.
There's nothing to stop us from doing a t-shirt where it's me and Sean saying hello.
That is true.
I'm just looking at this and like, even if it's not doing like huge numbers compared to the Eat Shit Funny Girl shirt,
right?
Yeah. I am just liking the idea of it's me, it's Sean on a t-shirt. I'm saying hello.
We're saying,
do you guys
hello.
Have any merch?
A lot of the work is done for us. We got a little bit of merch. I'd say it's even more confusing than the cruising shirt, what we're working with, you know.
Kevin just picks these very strange like inspirations for.
Oh,
are you pulling up our store, Kevin? Do we have a store?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
And here's what we're working with, boys.
Okay.
All righty.
A lot of sports.
These are all,
I want my cowboy.
It's a lot of sports. It says I want my
TV.
Cowboy TV. These are all on like the very similar kind of foundation. You know, it's like a brightish image on a black background.
Uh-huh.
Yours are much more varied in their presentation. I don't know. I'm just feeling like we got a clean house in this store.
You want to have clearance.
How's Podcast University doing, Kevin?
Thing.
Let me log in and look behind the curtain.
In the back end?
Yeah.
While he's doing that, we do have to deal with Gronk. Gronk will be there at the screening. He's going to want to be featured in some way.
25.
He wants to, you know, feel funny, feel a part of it. But again, we don't want Gronk to get discovered.
Sure.
We want to be discovered.
Right. He's already
so
in a
like,
movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, is there something funny we could do? Like, would he feel funny if we go, hey, what if we tackle you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In the lotion, no. You have a
tackle Gronk in the lotion.
And he's like
he
a
throws
strong,
a flag.
Strapping guy, right?
He pitched a few things. He want because he's got all these things that he sponsors.
Yeah, supplements and stuff.
And his thing is that he spikes the different things. So he has a deal with Subway. He spikes
the sub.
Sweet onion chicken piccata sub. He has a deal with USAA. This is the really difficult. He for our thing, because he works with the USAA, he wants to spike a Marine.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know that that's the
which we were
right
like,
now.
Could it be like a toy Marine or something? And he was like, Gronk,
like
don't
a
play
full
with toys.
In uniform.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the dress uniform.
Yes. He wants the Marines to send them their most powerful enlisted Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm glad he's not going to Walter Reed then and just picking the weakest. That would be upsetting. So this guy could take this
That
Marine.
Is nice. That's right.
It is, but he also wants, I mean, he does want to spike Ancient Beverly. So,
yes. Okay. Gronk. But what a way to go, Fred. What a way to go.
Yeah. I guess that's he has, right.
He has announced his intention to liquefy Ancient Beverly.
So you got to keep them on opposite sides of the stage then.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I don't follow sports. I didn't know Gronk was so bloodthirsty.
I don't know that he was when he was in the league, but you know, these guys are retired. They don't know what to do with themselves.
So much head trauma.
That's right.
We saw Babylon. I know what we're dealing with. Debauchery and outrage. That's what happens to you. Yeah.
Did Babylon, that's over 2 hours.
It's 3 hours and 5 minutes.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
Did you pull the lever on that one? Send it into the moat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got dunked, I said.
Can I tell my Gronk story?
Please.
Let's actually take a pulse on this, like whether we really do want to hear the Gronk story. I've never heard it before, and Kevin has told me just about everything that's happened in his life.
I'll be completely honest. I'll be completely honest. I have no idea who Gronk is, so any kind of context clues would be very helpful for me in taking part in this conversation.
Let's pull up one of his ads for John. I mean, if John is going to appreciate this story at all, we should like at least show him one commercial that has Gronk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Is he an active player?
He's no longer active.
He's no longer playing.
Yes.
Didn't play this past
season. But is that true within the world of that universe?
Of 80 for Brady? An 80 for Brady is an active player. He's got to be.
I thought 80 for Brady took place on September 10th, 2001.
Yeah.
He was playing then.
And they let it go. They just let it happen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, they get a warning. And they get a warning that if they don't lose the game, that the events of September 11th will take place. And Gronk and Brady look at each other and they say, you know what? The game is bigger than this country.
That's true.
True.
And they make a pretty good case that what would have happened if it had been averted would have been even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't say what it was, but it sounds like it would have been pretty bad.
We never would have gotten American Sniper, the movie.
They sort of allude to that being it. And
one of the pluses.
I know, but I think if they had just said that outright, people would have said that was actually not worth it.
I think if you put that fine a point on it, it becomes open for debate.
I see.
But they do imply that the film American Sniper would not have happened.
And it's all subjective.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Here's T-Mobile commercial.
So this is for T-Mobile.
Not a sponsor for this podcast, or are they?
Not yet. We're open. Yeah.
We're circling each other. Here it is.
Gronk.
What up, TB?
What do you think my next move should be? Give it to me straight. Maybe it's just time I hang him up.
I got one word for you. Retirement. If you retire now, you're going to be walking on soft sand in a week.
Just come to Florida
and feel the wind in your hair. Retirement is like winning another one. Maybe I'll even join you.
On the Spotty Network, this is what Tom heard.
If you retire now, you're soft and weak.
Just come to Florida and win another one.
Maybe I'll even join you.
Just go win another one.
Like it's that easy, Gronk. Maybe it is.
I still feel like I have a lot to accomplish.
And so Tom Brady unretired.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened.
And it's because of the spotty connection that he like,
it's like
lost
a multiverse.
His family.
This is why whenever I have a streaming service, I never pay for the ad free. I always like seeing these ads. They're funny. Yeah. They're really funny.
That ad was very clever. And when they... You know, it's really a mad fold-in, isn't it? Where you have this one picture, but then you get this second picture when you kind of trim the edges.
We realize we were in the hands of a Hitchcockian master the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. No, the twist had me reeling.
Good luck, knock at the cabin top in
the auteur. Yes.
I like looking at Tom Brady because I like to know that with enough money... When I reach a certain age, I will still be able to appear extremely youthful, but I will not know what to do with my mouth. Something will be going on with my mouth, which I am not certain.
He kind of looks like a very healthy ghoul.
I can either feel I either can't feel my mouth or I can feel it too much.
Too much. He's like, it's trying to, his lower jaw is trying to escape constantly. So,
something's going on. And so it'll be moving around. I'll be holding it, but you'll be able to tell that I'm thinking, is this normal the way I'm holding it? No matter what else is going on. But everything else seems fine.
In 80 for Brady, I believe Sally Field cuts his jaw off.
Really?
She's like, I can't take it anymore.
And he says, finally.
He's free.
At last, I am free.
And just ghosts just pour out of his mouth.
Like a Return of the King when that ghost army shows up. Mm-hmm.
So that's your context for who Gronk is. Gronk is the big guy. And he has a bad phone. And it was because of the bad phone that Tom Brady came back to play another year and, as Sean said, lost his entire family.
If he had T-Mobile, he'd still be married.
So is that considered to be a bad thing that Tom Brady went back?
It's an interesting question raised by the commercial, isn't it? I guess they really think that was a mistake for him to do.
Because it seems ultimately, like, it was
one of the gravest personal errors of his life. He only played one more year, and now he did just retire for good until, I guess, this happens again.
So he's like,
inevitably will.
He's like the share of football. Constantly retiring.
I think that's a nice way to think about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Charitable. Not nice to share, I feel like.
Yeah.
She'll be fine.
And so what are we thinking now about Kevin is unmuted. I just want to point that out. So Kevin is loaded for bear. if called upon, he will serve.
Okay, so do we want to hear more about Gronk is your question?
Well, not
the
just
question.
That's not
more about Gronk, but Kevin's story.
His take
experience,
which everything that has ever happened to Kevin, he has believed to be a story and told me about on the show.
Okay. And how, really how the story fared in the past.
I can't remember. I cannot remember a single fucking one of them.
There was a recent one.
I know that they happen, but they just wash over me.
Where, we're in the thick of a pretty significant business conversation for the podcast with the SiriusXM family, and Kevin texted us the other day, I just had the craziest morning.
All right.
And I think, like, well, surely this is like, I'm like interested in what's coming next, because we're kind of waiting for different pieces of news.
It absolutely has to affect me, the future of the show, finances, my family. Like, like this guy, on the heels of us sort of giving him our desires and our marching orders for the show, is like, I just had the craziest morning. And I know that he's been in talks with these different corporate entities about the show. So I go, wow, I'm braced for this to be crazy.
And it was the 50th, 60th installment of the story of how he burned down the shed in his backyard.
He's like a one-man Rashomon kind of thing.
I mean, how many sheds do you have in your backyard?
No, this is like, it's not the same story told over and over again. It's like a Dickens, like Bleak House, where you would get like a chapter at a time in the different publications over the course of like many years. That's
it's
what this
funny
story
girl-esque
is like.
And it's length.
Yes, that's right.
That is far beyond the point of it having entertainment value. It continues to
and
exist.
You're saying Kevin's storytelling prowess might not be on the level of Dickens.
This one was this one was insurance related.
Mm-hmm.
Does he get paid
and
by
the story
word for
was,
stories?
If I could abbreviate the story, and Kevin, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. The story was that he got a phone call from the insurance company that was concerning. And later that same day, he got a second phone call that said, we were mistaken. Undoing the initial phone call.
I mean, if you want to like boil it down, I guess that's the synopsis. Well, I've had two crazy mornings because Sean woke me up this morning, too.
Okay.
He called
crazy.
Me.
I call him at like 10:45 or so.
You were sleeping at 10:45.
It was that very clear that he was asleep
Must
and in
be
bed.
Nice.
I had to take my
town?
Night guard out. Hello.
Oh, no.
Wow.
You're 14.
Imagine that night guard at 10:45. How much that must stink.
God.
It took me
Would
a
you
few
take
rings
it out?
To
Is
get
there like
out?
Food in it? Like, do you floss before you go to bed?
Oh yeah, big floss.
You got John Stocking.
So Sean called me. I said, hello. He said, did I wake you up?
Kevin said, no, and no, I haven't spoken yet today, but I have been awake.
I haven't spoken.
Okay.
Perfect.
Even worse. All right, tell the Gronk story. Tell Mark and John, and let Mark and John, like, curate the story as it's happening, kind of, like, you know, get this thing
into
shape.
I do a lot of storytelling, so I think I can help here.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
The year is 2015.
No.
Tedious. It's facts. I want emotion. Okay.
I just moved to Los Angeles. I get a phone call.
Okay.
It's my old man. Good news. My coworker and his family are in Los Angeles, and I told them you're available to get lunch with them tomorrow at the Grove. Okay.
Okay.
Smash cut to the next day.
Could have done a voice for your dad or something, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite sure.
Smash cut is, it feels like you're writing a script, but all right.
Cut to the Grove. We have a nice meal. Just
regular cut to the Grove.
Yeah. Smash cuts are too jarring.
Better.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is this? Alex Proyas?
A side wipe.
Jesus.
Swipe to the Grove.
Angle on the Grove.
We have a nice lunch with me, my dad's coworker, Anthony, his wife, and two kids. LA, pretty cool.
Where?
Wait a minute.
You can't
what
just have
Grove. What does your dad Grove do? Who are these friends? Are you impressed?
No, my dad works in insurance.
Works in.
Okay. So he's in the mafia.
Yes.
He said he takes care of problems.
Okay.
We have big lunch, me, Anthony.
Where did you eat? You cannot just have big lunch at the Grove. The Grove
Marmalade
is not a
cafe.
Restaurant.
Whatever one has like the two floors and you're on like the second, it's across from the American
Cheesecake
Girl
Factory.
It's across from the American Girl
the
doll
Grove
store.
Oh.
And it has a second floor. It overlooks.
Why are we going
stores
down this path?
All right.
We have a fantastic lunch. And they say, hey, look, there's a sign in front of Barnes & Noble. Rob Gronkowski's doing a book signing. Oh, my God. Maybe we could go over there and sneak a peek. Swipe, too.
Like when he's changing clothes?
Smash cut, too. Second floor of Barnes & Noble.
Is there a bridge from the second floor of Barnes & Noble from the restaurant that you're at?
I wish. No, we had to go down the floor, walk in, go up the escalator. We're now in the second floor.
You must have really put on a show at this thing. They're taking you to a second location.
Yeah.
They're trying to like keep this going.
We're at Barnes & Noble on the second floor. People everywhere. So excited to see Gronk. Sure enough, out walks five very large men. Gronk and his entourage.
His decoys like Saddam.
Okay, so wait. What is your like relationship to the Gronk before this? Like, are you just like, oh, that's some guy? Is it someone who you idolize? Is it like
vaguely,
someone you hate?
Vaguely know who he is, that he's a football player. Anthony, I think, loves sports and was very excited to see him. So Anthony's excited.
Who's Anthony?
Who's Anthony?
We should know that first. We should know who Anthony is. We should know that he likes sports.
Also,
all of
you're asking
know what you think about Anthony.
You're asking for our emotional investment in the story when you have none.
Yeah. All I've heard is like technical terms.
I'm
yeah,
an empath. I'm an empath. I'm excited
no, Kevin,
because
you're
Anthony's
a narcissist.
Excited.
This is like a video.
This is something.
Through.
This is something we could have heard beforehand. Like, are you excited? Like, you're giving us facts, but like, we're not feeling a
my
story.
My dad
it's
calls
just,
his empath son me and asks if I can get lunch with him. We have this fantastic.
He calls you
lunch.
Me?
No, he calls me (parentheses) his empath son.
Ah,
okay.
Hey, Kev, guess what?
Kevin's more like a Z path.
Okay. So here's what you're like telling me you're an empath, but you're not showing me it. So like, sure. I wanted you to be like, oh, my dad is excited. So suddenly I'm excited or like
yeah.
this.
Absolutely.
This,
how
you know,
do we
like,
get back
I
to the
that.
Beginning of the story? We haven't gotten to the end
to
of L-path. The story.
I know.
Yeah. I moved to Los Angeles in 2015. A few months later, my dad calls me.
How are you feeling, Mr. Empath? Are you overwhelmed being in LA? All these emotions, all this ambition, anxiety. Like, what is it?
Oh, I'm so scared and stressed. I buy a car, dies on the second day.
Sociopath.
Covered in bed bugs.
We don't need the whole story.
I'm doing horrible.
Okay.
My daddy calls me. Hey, I like this guy. Hey, guess what? Great news. Oh, I love great news.
I hate to ask who was talking when you said, hey, I like this guy.
That's what you said when you saw your dad was calling.
I really want to be done.
My phone rings. Dad. Hey, I like this guy. Swipe to answer.
You swipe on your phone?
Swipe to answer. Swipe right to answer.
You got to swipe right to answer. That's true. I'll give him that.
Great news. My face lights up like a Christmas tree. Who? What? You're going to get lunch.
What?
What?
You're getting lunch tomorrow with my coworker Anthony and his family at the Grove.
Is Anthony is your dad Anthony's boss?
Yes.
That makes a lot more sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Status is important in a story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to show
this
you
this man
a
is being
time.
Paid to spend time with you. Yes, that's why they kept
on his vacation with his family. Now he's getting lunch with me at the Grove. We have a great lunch. I get you. Oh, they're so excited for me. I'm excited because they're excited for me. Smash
for
cut. I look at you. You moved to Los Angeles. You did it.
Okay.
You did the impossible.
Yeah.
Edit. Second floor Barnes & Noble.
I wish.
Hundreds of people. Out walks Gronk with his crew. They're getting closer and closer to us. My eyes are going back and forth between Anthony and Gronk. I can't believe this. I'm so happy for him. It's a little quiet. There's like hush sounds.
No one speaks. It's Gronk.
That's what happens when Gronk comes out.
Gronk. What about this Gronk?
He's about to conduct an orchestra or something.
Yeah.
Very loudly, Anthony's wife says as Gronk's crew walks by us, oh, wow, which one is he? Gronk kind of look over. Who said that? Didn't actually say that, but with the side eye, you could see.
That's the whole story?
What you guys think?
That was the punchline? I could tell that was the punchline. This is a...
Roll credits.
Okay, so what changed for you? How are you different now because of this interaction?
I just kind of like that he was humbled.
This is really more of a story about your father's employee's wife and not a Gronk story.
How did I word it?
Also, she doesn't get a name in the story. I just want to
female
character.
I know all about Anthony. Anthony's a sports nut. I know where he works.
Yeah.
He went to college where I
went. Who he
and
works for.
Yep. Know his position.
Anthony's wife, she could be anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing.
That's what happens when it can be anything. It ends up being nothing.
Wow.
All we know about her is she's not sure of who Gronk is among a group of six men.
It could have been me.
God
I could have been Anthony's wife, really.
Yeah, yeah. God forbid that
that's
she has some
that's
other
what an
interest, something
is,
going on that Kevin has never learned about that prevented her from finding out who Gronk was.
Yeah, but like, again, like, Kev, how are you different because of all this? That's what this means
you
for your button.
Or your preconceived notions of Gronk changed.
I just like that Anthony's wife kind of razzed him.
Anthony's wife.
She kind of like...
Again, do you think it was intentional? To me, it came off as just a blissful ignorance, not a sort of digging
That's
attack.
The question that keeps me up at night, John. I says, was that intentional?
You can't get to bed until sleep so late, and you have to sleep until
10:45.
With John, guard.
John wakes me up. I've been up since 4, wondering if Anthony's wife did this intentional or if it was pure bliss.
Keeps my teeth
Now I picture when you wake up, you just go, which one was it? And then go, oh, Sean's calling me.
I mean, I think there is a message here that Kevin has taken away, which is, you know, fame is in the eye of the beholder. You can feel like you're
especially
on cloud nine. People are here to see me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got my big book reading today. And all it takes is one Anthony's wife to snap you back to reality.
Maybe you can book her for the 80 for Brady. Like, that could be a fun reunion.
Yes,
I think he's likely to. What I was going to say that it did change
Gronk's
Kevin because
revenge on Anthony's wife.
There you go.
He spikes her.
He spikes Anthony's wife.
How do you like that?
Instead of ancient, what's her name?
Beverly.
Beverly. But we often ask Kevin to like book a celebrity for the show or like to get us someone famous. And I think because
you've known
of this
Anthony's
interaction
wife
with Gronk,
this whole time and you've never tried to book her. Anthony's wife's numbers in your phone. And how many episodes have you guys done now?
486. Oh my God.
Wow.
I hate to think about that.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.